Hello and welcome to another episode of The Messed Up Gardener. My name is Esther Aiken and I'm your host for today and I'm absolutely buzzed to be here. As you may have noticed, over the last 2 weeks I have not been able to do my normal quick and messies, and that's mostly because it's just been that friggin' crazy around here. This week in particular it's been, well, how do I put it? Messy, with a large water leak in my main water supply, which ended up taking an entire day of digging up a trench along the driveway. Thankfully, we ended up finding it at the end of the day. I wish it was at the beginning of the day, but no, of course, Murphy's Law, end of the day. And I am so grateful to the plumber that helped and my neighbours who ended up backfilling a lot of the trenches so that we could get our vehicles out down the driveway. If we hadn't found the leak, it would have made for an interesting water bill and a big giant dismantle of my concrete parking area, which isn't something I was looking forward to. So we've also had a very long hot week where I've had to go out and into my garden, pretty much hand water everything to stop it all from struggling from dehydration. It's way too early in the season and I'm already getting the passion vine hopper on my beans, and I'm fairly certain I've already seen a few juvenile stink bugs. This is a, I really don't have time to hand pick off the bugs or to spray them with, you know, sort of the soapy water at the moment. Some of my tomato plants are also struggling with powdery mildew. Even though I've been treating them and the treatments are working, it just feels like, well, a bit of an uphill battle at the moment. Not to mention the ants are eating my strawberries. Not impressed with those little buggers. So it looks like this year is going to be just as challenging as the previous year. And honestly, I am so here for it because that's all what gardening is. It's just one challenge after another, and as long as I'm still harvesting, technically I'm a very happy lady. My neighbour is also starting to develop his garden, and he's been complaining a lot about slugs and snails, and he has been poisoning them with, obviously, slug bait, which is awesome, and I've also been fairly rigorous in discouraging those snails, but it just seems to be an endless battle. And one day, who knows, we might just be able to conquer our snail populations if all the neighbours pitch in. I have also set up a number of new compost bins by using some of my old beehive boxes that are too damaged to be using for my beehives. The beauty with using the hive box is that I can do it in a sequence and add the boxes to the compost bin as it starts to fill up, which will make it much easier once I start, obviously, well, breaking down the already made compost. I'm actually a little bit excited about today's episode. I was doing a little bit of gardening planning regarding my crop rotations for the next few growing seasons, and as I was doing the planning on paper, I decided to write a list of all the vegetables that could produce food to feed both my daughter and myself over the next year, and I'm going to be covering those in this episode. I ended up with 10 in total. There are several vegetables that can be grown all year round, provided that they are planted and maintained properly. Here are 10 vegetables that you can consider growing. The first has to be one of my favourites, and in particular, always a go-to, which is, of course, spinach. Spinach can be grown all year round. Make sure to plant it in a spot that receives plenty of sun and water it regularly. I like growing perpetual spinach. It is just one of those vegetables that keeps going and going and going, and it is, even though the growth habit can appear more similar to silver beet, I truly believe that the perpetual spinach just tastes yummier and it's a lot more versatile than silver beet. Perpetual spinach is one of those vegetables you can continue to harvest the leaf off the same plant and it still continues growing. So you don't need to pull it out of the soil once you've harvested. You can just take what you need and let it continue to grow, which I believe is definitely a plus. The second vegetable, which is a staple in my garden also, is the lettuce. So lettuce is another vegetable that can be grown all year round, and make sure you plant it in a spot that receives plenty of sun and water it regularly. It is really important to know the variety that you are planting, because there are types that grow much better in warmer seasons, and then there are those that grow better in the cooler seasons. There are also a number of different varieties that you can continuously harvest while the plant remains growing in your garden, or there are the hearting lettuces like the Great Lakes that require to be fully harvested and will not regrow again. It depends on what your personal preference is, of course. If it is a particularly wet season, then I have a tendency to grow more the leafy varieties than the hearting varieties, because they just tend to rot out. Now, the next vegetable I want to mention is kale. Kale can be grown all year round, but it is best to plant in the cooler months. Make sure to plant it in a spot that receives plenty of sun and water it regularly. I like kale, especially if the leaves are fairly young, because they don't tend to get hard, and you can use them in salads and steamed vegetables and also stews and soups and things like that. It has a very efficient high nutrient loading as a brassica, and it's often referred to as the poor man's broccoli. Now, I would be a terrible gardener if I didn't mention the next vegetable, which are carrots. Carrots can be grown all year round. Again, just check to make sure that you have the right variety growing at the right time, and to make sure to plant them in well-draining soil, and again, water them regularly. Just a quick note here, I've been asked before if you can successfully grow carrots in containers, so I figured I would answer that here and also throw in a methodology to accomplish a bumper crop. The short answer is yes, you can successfully grow carrots in containers, but it requires proper planning and care. Here are some steps to help you grow a bumper crop of carrots in containers. Firstly, of course, choose the right container. Carrots need a container that is at least 12 inches deep to accommodate their long tap roots. It should also have good drainage holes to prevent water logging. Prepare the soil using a high quality potting mix that is well draining and of course nutrient rich. Mix in some compost or aged manure to provide those additional nutrients. Now the next step is to sow the seeds. Sow the carrot seeds directly into the container, following the instructions on the seed packet for spacing and depth. Cover the seeds with a thin layer of soil and water gently. The next step, of course, is to provide the right conditions. Carrots need consistent moisture and cool temperatures to germinate and grow. Keep the soil evenly moist and place the container in a location that receives partial sun. Thin the seedlings out once they have emerged. Thin them out to, say, one plant per inch. This will give each carrot enough space to grow to its full size. Fertilize regularly. Carrots are heavy feeders and require regular fertilization to produce a bumper crop. Use a balanced fertilizer every 2 or 3 weeks during the growing season. And of course, harvesting at the right time. Carrots are ready to harvest when they're about 1 to 2 inches in diameter, so you gently loosen the soil around the carrot and pull it out by the green tops. So with these steps, you can, in theory, successfully grow a bumper crop of carrots in containers. So while we're on root vegetables, I cannot go past one of the easiest to grow, and that is the humble radish. So radishes can be grown all year round. Make sure to plant them in a well-draining soil and of course water them regularly. They really are a super yummy crop for in salads and such. Okay, now we're getting to the nitty-gritty vegetables, and the first one has to be the broccoli. So broccoli can be grown all year round, but it is best to plant it in the cooler months. This is mostly to avoid the dreaded white butterfly. Make sure to plant it in a spot that receives plenty of sun and water it again regularly. Then there's the cauliflower. So cauliflower can be grown all year round as well, but it is best to plant in the cooler months for, again, the white butterfly purposes. Make sure to plant in a spot that receives plenty of sun and water it regularly. There are a few tricks to keeping cauliflower white while it is ready to harvest, or until it gets ready to harvest. So first, make sure to keep the cauliflower plant well watered and fertilized. This will help the plant grow quickly and produce large white heads. Second, you can try blanching the cauliflower by tying the leaves of the plant together over the top of the head. This will prevent sunlight from reaching the head and turning it yellow. You can also wrap the head in paper or aluminium foil to keep it covered. Just make sure there's plenty of space for it to still develop and not touch the head, so it ensures it will not rot. Finally, harvest the cauliflower when it's still young and tender, as older heads will start to turn yellow. So by following some of these above tips, you can ensure that your cauliflower stays white and tasty until it's ready to be harvested. Now, this particular staple is a vegetable that you can use in so many dishes, and it can feed a huge amount of people just as one vegetable, and that is the cabbage. So cabbage can be grown all year round. Make sure to plant it in a spot that receives plenty of sun and water it regularly. Again, a little bit, and in a little bit, I'll present to you a natural methodology for getting rid of the white butterfly caterpillar that absolutely takes over the brassicas. And the next vegetable, which is a root vegetable, and of course, that is the beets. So beets can be grown all year round. Make sure to plant them in well-draining soil and water them regularly. Beetroots are a great source of vitamins, minerals, and fiber, which makes them a highly nutritious vegetable to include in your diet. And here are a few of those health benefits of beetroot, which I am hoping will convert you into at least giving them a try. And the first health benefit is lower blood pressure. So beetroot contains nitrates, which are converted into nitric oxide in the body, and nitric oxide helps to relax and dilate blood vessels, which can lead to lower blood pressure. Now, this next health benefit could definitely benefit me, and that is improved digestion. Beetroot is high in fiber, which helps to promote digestive health and prevent constipation. It also contains betaine, which can help to reduce inflammation in the digestive system. Now, the next health benefit as a result of eating beetroot is boosted immunity. Beetroots are rich in vitamin C, which is essential for a healthy immune system. Vitamin C helps to stimulate the production of white blood cells, which help to fight off infections and diseases. This following health benefit is something that I can benefit a lot from as well, and that is increased energy. So beetroots are a good source of iron, which is necessary for the production of red blood cells, and red blood cells are responsible for carrying oxygen throughout the body, which can help to increase energy levels. And if your body is cracking and creaking like mine, then this next health benefit is definitely a win-win. Did you know beetroots have anti-inflammatory properties? So beetroots contain betalains, which are natural anti-inflammatory agents. They can help to reduce inflammation in the body, which can help to prevent chronic diseases such as heart disease, cancer, and arthritis. Overall, adding a beetroot into your diet can obviously provide numerous health benefits and help to improve your overall well-being. And before you ask what's the best way to remove beetroot juice stains out of white clothing, the answer is as follows. Beetroot juice is known to leave very stubborn stains on clothes, especially when it comes to white clothing. However, you can try several methods to remove these stains. One of the most effective ways to remove beetroot juice stains is to apply a mixture of vinegar and water onto the stain. Mix equal parts of white vinegar and water and apply the solution onto the stain. Allow it to soak for about 15 minutes before rinsing it off with cold water. Another method you can try is using baking soda. You mix baking soda with a small amount of water to create a paste. Apply the paste onto the stain and allow it to sit for a few minutes before rinsing off with cold water. You can also try using hydrogen peroxide. Apply a small amount of hydrogen peroxide onto the stain and allow it to sit for 5 minutes. Rinse it off with cold water and repeat the process until the stain is removed. Remember, it's always best to treat the stain as soon as possible to increase the chances of removing it completely. And also just make sure that the stain removal process that you're actually using is not going to negatively damage the garment that you are trying to clean. So test spot is always a safe bet. Now, my last vegetable I cook with almost every single night, and that is an onion. So onions can be grown all year round. Make sure to plant them in a well-draining soil and water them regularly. During the winter months, obviously, you wouldn't be required to water them every single day because you would just end up rotting out the onion layers, and nobody wants that. Now, onions are very, very good for your gut health, so definitely investigate that one. And remember to add it into your crop rotation. The best way to grow vegetables mentioned is to make sure that they are planted in the right season, well draining soil and watered regularly. It is also important to make sure that they receive the right amount of sun and are protected from pests and diseases. Additionally, using organic fertilizers can help improve the soil quality and promote healthy growth. In this list, I've mentioned a number of vegetables related to the Brassica genus, such as the cabbage, cauliflower, broccoli, and the kale. And even though, yes, they do better in the cooler months, mostly because of the lack of white butterfly population, but you can successfully grow them all year round and naturally deal to the pests such as the white butterflies. So during dealing with the white butterfly caterpillar on brassicas can be challenging, but there are several natural methods of controlling them that are safe and effective. One method is to handpick the caterpillars and remove them from the plants. This can be done by simply picking them off by hand or using a small brush to gently remove them. Another method is to use a mixture of dish soap and water to spray the plants. The soap will suffocate the caterpillars and prevent them from causing further damage to the plants. And once obviously you've left it on there a little bit, be sure to rinse the plants thoroughly after spraying to remove any residue. Another natural method is to introduce natural predators to your garden, such as birds or beneficial insects like ladybugs or lace wings. These predators will feed on the caterpillars and help to keep their population under control. At the moment, I have a paper wasp population problem, and in saying that, they do seem to be grabbing the caterpillars and eating them. So, are they bad for the garden? That one is a matter of debate. Anyway, finally, planting companion plants like garlic, onions, or herbs like rosemary or thyme can help to repel the white butterfly as well and prevent them from laying their eggs on your brassicas in the first place. By using these natural methods, you can effectively control the white butterfly caterpillar on your brassicas without the use of harmful chemicals or pesticides, making them safe to eat. So now that you've harvested a bountiful harvest, the question is how to best store your vegetables, especially the brassicas. So once harvested, proper storage is crucial to maintain their quality and freshness. The best way to store brassicas is to keep them in a cool, dry place with good airflow. If you have harvested brassicas with their leaves intact, remove the leaves and store them separately. This will help prevent moisture buildup, which can lead to spoilage. Place the leaves in a plastic bag with a damp paper towel and store them in the refrigerator. The brassica heads can be wrapped in a damp paper towel and stored in a perforated plastic bag in the crisper drawer of your refrigerator. If you have harvested cut brassicas, they should be stored in an airtight container or plastic bag in the refrigerator. Make sure to remove any excess moisture before storing them, and stored properly, brassicas can last for up to a week or more in the refrigerator. In summary, keep brassicas in a cool, dry place with good airflow, remove any excess moisture, and store them in the refrigerator for best storage results. Let me know what some of your all-round vegetables are. That will be interesting. It'll be interesting to compare it with what we can grow here in New Zealand and obviously compare it to some other locations I know my listeners are positioned in. I hope that this particular episode on growing these simple all year round vegetables was helpful. If you do have any gardening questions, please do reach out. I'm going to keep compiling a list, and every now and again I'll do an episode on a bunch of combined questions, or I will do them in my quick and messies. Every week I mention this, don't be shy. Let me know if you are needing some private coaching, no matter what level, from beginner to experienced. Reach out and let's chat. I have a few one-on-one gardening mentoring spots available. Sometimes it really is easier to accomplish a task or a project having a gardening mentor and quietly holding you accountable to whatever tasks you set. Flick me a DM or email me and let's check to see how we can work together. My contact details, as always, are in the show notes. Don't forget to email or DM me for any one of my gardening freebies. As always, I say gardening can happen in any space and in any place and on any budget. Have an incredibly abundant week, and I will buzz you later. Bye. Thanks for listening to today's episode. I would love to hear about your gardening adventures. Flick me a DM on Instagram at TheMessedUpGardener or send me an email and let's connect. Don't forget to check out my gardening reels on TikTok. If you are looking for some help planning your next garden project or just need some one-on-one private coaching, reach out and let's get growing. If you have a garden-related business or you're looking at starting a gardening business, including arboriculture, land clearing, firewood, or a general plant growing and selling business, let's work together in my one-on-one private business development coaching container. Having helped my clients grow several six-figure plus businesses, including from startup to working on million-dollar open space management contracts for many years now. Let me help you and let's grow your business so you can leapfrog your profits and establish a viable and sustainable business. If you're looking for a business podcast, check out my The Let's Biz You Up podcast available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If this episode was at all helpful, please share with others and let's get growing in any space, in any place, and on any budget. Till next time, happy gardening and buzz you later.